Christmas time, we come to a moment in which we really look and reflect on the real meaning of Christmas. And Christmas carries with it great significance. It's a season of dedication. It's a season of consecration. It's a season of celebration. But when we come and arrive at this blessed Christmas morning, it is a season of adoration, the God we adore. You see, in this age in which we live, it is so important for us to understand the real meaning of Christmas. Because without us understanding the meaning of it, it will be misplaced and disconnected. And folks will not be able to celebrate and understand what Christmas really means. I read with quite a bit of interest a survey of 1,000 students, 5 to 7 years old, being raised in Great Britain. A place and land in which we think about it for a moment, our forefathers came across from, coming to celebrate what they could by way of freedom and celebrate what Christmas is really all about. They asked these 1,000 of these 5 to 7 year olds about Christmas. And it's interesting. They asked them about the wise men. How did the wise men, how did the Magi, how did they find out about Jesus being born? 30% said on Facebook. And you fathom that. They asked them, whose birthday do we celebrate on December 25th? 36% said, we have no idea whatsoever. While 25%, we celebrate Simon Cowell's birthday, American Idol. Now, can you fathom what media can do? What kind of impact? They also asked them if they knew where Jesus was born. And of that group, 25% said Buckingham Palace or 10 Downing Street. Well, needless to say, listen carefully. Those parents and grandparents quit telling the story. And you know, if we tell the story that's wrapped around gifts instead of the gift, we'll miss the story as well. And listen, on this Christmas morning, the story is about who we adore. You see, I adore everybody in my family, and I express that by giving gifts to them. But there is no greater gift than the gift of what Jesus has done by coming to this world, coming to this earth. When you look at how they ask them these questions, you realize then you come back to America. In America, 80% of the people who are not believers will celebrate Christmas, while only 51% actually realize that Christmas is a celebration of the birthday of a Savior. So you and I, we have a solemn responsibility to be people who adore the Lord. And so today I want to ask you a question. When you think about Christmas 2011, what gift do you bring to Jesus? What gift do you bring? You may be saying, well, you know, what kind of gift can I give him? Obviously, the most important gift is to give him your heart, to give him your life, to give him your commitment, to give him your obedience, to give him your willingness to do whatever it is that he has for you to do. I want you to think about it for a moment. For Mary and Joseph, they were required to give a gift. They were required to be willing to submit their lives to a plan bigger than their own. And they had to be willing to allow that to become the experience that would transform the entire world. You see, when you look back at history, you realize for Mary and Joseph, it wasn't like they were richly blessed. It wasn't like they came out of some significant family of heritage. They were common people with an uncommon purpose, and that was that they would allow Jesus to be born from their world. And when we think about Christmas time, the reality is that what we choose to adore will define the parameters of who we will become. Because we can adore people. I adore my little granddaughter more than I could ever put words into it. And yet the reality is, ultimate adoration comes by way of expression to the one who absolutely directs the steps of our lives, and that is Jesus. And so today we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 1. If you can imagine for a second, in the Gospels, in Luke and Matthew, in the prophets in the Old Testament, they all are bringing us to this climactic moment in which we see that Emmanuel has come our way. And today I want us to read in this text two different snapshots that summarize, in essence, the story of the arrival of Jesus whom we adore. And my encouragement to you today is to think about your own journey of faith and think about where you are. And on this Christmas morning, during these few moments that we have together, I want you to listen carefully to what is declared as Joseph and Mary find themselves at that unique place. In chapter 1 of Matthew, beginning in verse 18, listen to the story. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. A few short verses bring us to the focus of what it is that we ultimately adore. Joseph, in his integrity, intended to protect what was transpiring. And yet the reality is, when the angel showed up, the angel said, do not worry, because this is a child brought by the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, they took their responsibility very seriously. And what we see today, if we are to adore the Lord, if we are to recognize who God is, we must see Emmanuel, God with us, is the key to all of our life. In fact, when you look at this passage, the declaration that is declared is that there is a moment in which they understand that for this moment, as the baby arrives, literally God is with us. And as a result, they were captured by this declaration. I want to ask you, when you hear Emmanuel, when you sing Emmanuel, are you captured by the reality of the beauty of what that really means? That God can be with us forever as our Savior, as our Lord. You see, Christmas is all about celebrating what salvation is all about, because salvation is coming to a right relationship with Christ. And that's why that baby was born. And when you look at this, you realize something. Because there are two things about Emmanuel you don't want to miss. First of all, there's the blessing of the gift of salvation. You see, at Christmas time, if we're not careful, we will miss the real gift of God. And that is that we could be transformed from our sinful nature to be transformed into one of his children. And it's the blessing of that gift that far exceeds any other gift. I don't know if you're like me, but I grew up in a home where we celebrated Christmas, but we really never knew what the story was about. And growing up as a child, we had a tree, and you may have had one of these too. It was a silver tree, but we had this little thing that had a light that would go around, and it would go from blue to red to green. It would circle and make all those colors. And every year, I'd find myself mesmerized by all that color and watching all of it, but then I would watch what was happening in our home. And it wasn't what I really dreamed it could be. It wasn't a celebration of the birth of a Savior. It was just the giving of gifts. And listen carefully. You can't amend all of life by giving gifts. The only way you amend life is to receive the gift that God has, because that is the transforming power that makes you and I have life and live it effectively. So it was a blessing of the gift of salvation. And on this Christmas morning, you see, it doesn't matter what age you are. It's so essential for you to realize that we celebrate the birth of a Savior who came to change our world. You see, in our day, we complicate the story. We add all kinds of trappings to it. My son works in New York City in the meatpacking district, and he's been busy all the way up to last night. He was talking to his mom on the phone, and he said, Mom, you know, I have to work tomorrow. And she said, I have to have everything about Christmas gone by tomorrow morning when we open. It all has to be gone. And as I heard Cindy telling me that, I thought to myself, That's exactly how many people live out Christmas. Listen, next Sunday when you walk in here, it's still going to look like Christmas. Because we celebrate the birth of a Savior and the opportunity to know the Lord throughout our lives. Every time we come into His house, we see Him as our Savior. But not only the blessing of salvation, but I want you to not miss this. Because when it says Emmanuel, God with us, it is the blessing of His presence in our lives. Have you ever wondered about that still small voice that speaks to your heart? That comes to us and speaks to us? Listen carefully. If you understand His presence, what you understand, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you. You ever had somebody say, I love you, but they didn't stick with you? Ever had somebody say, I'll carry that load, but they didn't carry it? Ever had somebody that you thought had it together, but they really didn't have it at all? You see, what happens here is Joseph and Mary, they're trying to put it together, but they don't know how. And all of a sudden, the angel shows up and says, look, man, it's not your math. You don't have to worry about it. What you got to know is that God's with you, and He'll always be with you. Isn't it amazing that Jesus says at the end of Matthew, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end? You see, you and I need to know something today. As we think about Christmas morning, and we think about why we're in His house, we have the blessing of salvation that comes through Jesus. But we also have the blessing of His presence at work in our lives. And that blessing is far exceeds anything that we could ever imagine. Because listen carefully, when you come to those critical crossroads of life, when you so desperately need to know that God is with you, that He has a word for you, it will be there. You've been on the phone with me, visiting with the young lady I told you about during our offering time, Sandy. In the midst of the agony of the most difficult and challenging report you could ever get, I heard Jesus' presence with her. When she said, I don't want to hurt anymore, and I have hurt since this began, what she was saying was, Jesus is with me. And listen carefully. We all have hurts. And the only one who can ever help us with our hurts is Jesus. And if you're here and your heart hurts because you've been rejected by someone, you've been through a difficult experience, you've lost someone, let Jesus in His presence bless you. Because He is Emmanuel, God with us. And aren't you glad He never leaves you? Aren't you glad He's always with you? Well, as Matthew records, the story continues. And we find ourselves with men. Listen, when you look at the original word magi and you get back in language, you realize these were men who were connected to magic and other things. You go all the way back to the book of Daniel and you find these wise men. But these wise men have something else going on. Because these wise men, they're living their lives, and all of a sudden they see a bright and morning star. Something that changes the way life will be for them forever. And that bright morning star is the same star that shines in your heart and mine when we find Jesus as the Lord of our lives. And what happens here is we find ourselves in chapter 2. These wise men have come, and they're bringing great gifts. It's interesting. They bring the best that they have. I want to ask you a question. As we look at this year that has just transpired, ask yourself this solemn question. Have you given God the best of who you are? Or have you allowed life to get in the way of that? Have you been challenged by something, overwhelmed by something, frustrated by something? Listen, these men came bringing everything that was of value to them because they were coming in pursuit of something that was absolutely distinguishable between anything else they'd ever seen in their lives. This star showed up. Let's begin reading if we could in chapter 2, because I just want you to see today how important it is that we see that Emmanuel, God with us, is the very one who let a star shine so that people could see and understand that He was indeed the answer for all of mankind. Look, if you would, chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophets." Verse 6, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, and by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Wow, what a story. What a story, because here's the story. Here are men who have had no idea how life works, and all of a sudden a light begins to shine. And listen carefully. In the world that we live in the day in which we live, there are so many who do not understand how life works. But when that light begins to shine, that is the light above all lights, the light of the world, who is Jesus, then there is something about it that is absolutely overwhelming. And it has to do with us understanding the brilliance of this particular light. Because you see, this light was not like any other light. This was a light that illuminated for those who were seeking him. But for a man like Herod, the light was not present at all. Herod did not see what the wise men had seen, what the Magi were looking for. And listen carefully. You can look all over the world for the answer. And you can be just like those who we watched in the last few weeks. Those who have absolutely defined that there is no God, who've died in the anguish of that. And you can look at all their stories, and here's what you see. They missed the brilliance of the light. Because you and I need to understand today, as we sit in the Lord's house, there is a light that shines brighter than any other light. And in your darkest moment, that light will shine to show you which way to go. If your heart is broken, he'll heal your heart. If your spirit is troubled, he'll bring you peace to your spirit. If you find yourself encompassed by issues you don't understand, he'll become the answer to your issues. He's the one who is the great, bright morning star. He is Jesus. And you see, those wise men, they saw this bright light, and something amazing happened because they kept looking until they found Jesus. And listen carefully, don't fall short. Don't fall short. Our country is creating an entire new schism of people called nones, N-O-N-E-S. No connection point to Jesus, no connection point to who God is. And yet, they now encompass 15% of the population of our country. No connection point to the real story. And listen carefully. If we walk away from the story, if we walk away from the brilliance of the light, it will be so dark that we will not see which way to go and where we should go and what we should do. These wise men, they weren't going to miss it at all. And what you discover is that these guests were very significant, because these were people who didn't have the answer. And the significance of these guests can't be overstated. These men had everything the world had to offer. They were revered. They were revered by those who were connected to them. They were blessed with material blessings. They had so many things that the world, the trappings of the world, and yet the reality is they were still looking for something. And listen carefully. You can look over the entire world for anything you want to try to find. Sometimes people try to find it in people. Sometimes people try to find it in what they have, their possessions. Sometimes people look for it in the power that they assume. Sometimes people look for it in the way in which they live. But the reality is, listen carefully, that empty place in the heart of every person only God can fill, no matter what you look for, no matter what power, what position, what prestige you get from this world, without Jesus, the simplicity of Jesus, then you miss the significance of what makes life worth living. So I want you to think about today in your own life. Think about these two parallel stories. Here is Emmanuel, God with us. And here we find ourselves as that wonderful, bright, and morning star shines so that Magi can find their way home. You see, as we head into a new year, and as we begin to anticipate where we'll be in life, I want you to ask yourself, where will you be? Will you cling to a story that will change your world? Will you grab hold of a story? 2004, the day after Christmas, a tsunami hits Indonesia. The tsunami comes across in such force that thousands of lives disappear at one time. A mother is walking with her children, running to get away from the tsunami. One of her children, an 8-year-old daughter, is swept away, swept out into the water. They have no idea whether Maddie will ever be found again, but they hang on to hope. Maddie's picked up by a family that converts her into becoming a beggar. She went from a family of being loved to being converted into a beggar. 8 years have passed. She begins to beg if she can go and try to find her family. Maddie begins to wander and across the province over a span of 8 years looking for her mother. And on this Christmas week, Maddie found herself at a cafe in a particular town in Indonesia. And in that town, she walked up to the person at the restaurant and said, "I'm looking for my family." They looked at her and said, Who is your family?" The little girl had forgotten every name that she had ever known except Abraham, her grandfather. And so she looked, and she looked in the eyes of this waiter and said, "I want to find Abraham." They found a cab driver who knew a man named Abraham. They took that little girl who was now 15 years old. They took her to his door, and they knocked. The man looked at her and said, "Indeed, this is my grandchild." For the scar on her eye and the mole on her face are the identifying marks of someone who had been totally lost for 8 years. She could only remember one name, only one. You and I sometimes are swept away by tsunamis in life. Accidents, challenges, issues. But if we remember one name, we'll make it through the storm. If we remember the name which is above every name, that the name in which every knee shall bow, that every tongue will confess. If we remember that name when the storm blows through, at the end of the storm, we'll be able to declare, "I'm looking for Jesus." You see, Maddie spent 8 years dreaming of the day she would see her mom and her dad. And I dream of the day when this land that we call America comes back to the name of Jesus, the name which is above every name. For if we as a country allow Christmas just to become something that commercializes and runs up credit cards and extends people with false hope to believe that if I give you this, everything will be okay. If that is the country that we're creating, then we're in serious trouble. But if we as God's people will remember the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, if we will know that it is indeed Emmanuel, God with us, that he's the bright and morning star, you'll hear a lot of names through the span of life. You'll hear a lot of people who have a glittering moment of fame and they disappear. Stories in which their entire story is a story of sorrow. The world elevates them too high. The air is too thin. They fall too quickly. And their lives are disasters. But the great lies are the lies where someone is willing to say, "I let Jesus be the one who is the name that I look for." You see, at Christmas in Indonesia for Maddie was a Christmas like no other. She no longer had to beg. She found her way home. And you and I, we've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed, begging for bread. On this Christmas morning, may we see God with us. May we see that bright and morning star. And may we celebrate who he is by connecting our lives into his purpose. If you're a parent or grandparent here, you see your children in his house, it's all about Jesus. And all these beautiful children God's brought in our family, there's only one name we want them to know above every name. And that is the name of Jesus. Because when we, on this Christmas morning, bring them to Jesus, we give them a name they could never forget. And may that be the name that comes off of our lips, no matter what it is we're facing. Because he is indeed with us to the end of the world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you on this Christmas morning that we can come into your house and we can celebrate on this Christmas day the birth of a Savior. It is on this day that we declare Emmanuel, God with us. It is on this day that we bring our hearts before you and we celebrate who you are. We take a moment to connect into your purpose for our lives. We yield to you because your name is above every name. And in this moment, Lord, on this Christmas morning, I look across this room, Lord, at all the people that are so dear to you and to me. You are the great shepherd. You're the light of the world. And for all the beautiful children who've come our way, may you bless their lives as well. We take this moment, Lord, to extend our hearts to you. We ask you to speak to us in Christ's name. Amen.